and the world. I'm John Batchelor. The Chinese economy, troubled. How so and where? I welcome Victoria Herzeg of the Geopolitical Future. She's in Budapest, and she provides me a map and a series of provinces in China that are especially in trouble over something called an LGFVs. However, I'm going to read off this list because it describes geography that I'm learning in China. This is provinces that have either stopped or about to stop their state-funded infrastructure projects because they're deeply in debt and don't have a way out. We're looking at Yunnan, Gansu, Tianjin, Chongqing, Inner Mongolia, Liaoning, Jilin, Heilongjiang, Guizhou, Ningxia, and Qinghai. I'm describing the north of China. I'm also describing the deep south. Stopping projects, freezing in place. Why? Vicky, a very good evening to you. I wander my way through the map, but it does look like the central government has a problem that these provinces at the edges of China's development, they're not the big manufacturing centers of the coastline, and they're certainly not Beijing or Wuhan, the experiment, the labs and the technology. They are the outliers. They're in trouble. How did they get in trouble? And what does the Chinese Communist Party plan to do about it? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Yes, you are absolutely right. So all these provinces are, well, located everywhere in China except for the coastal region. So it's the central region, which is always described as the poorest region of China. Also the northern regions that don't get as much trade as the coastal provinces. And it's important to mention here that some of these provinces have high percentages of minorities living there. And we know that China's treatment of the minorities is not ideal. So yes, these several provinces are all in big trouble. So they have very high levels of debt. That's their main issue. And that's been a problem for several years now, but it's gotten to the point that it's almost impossible to resolve. So these local governments became indebted because of the troubles of the central government, and the central government basically didn't concentrate on these provinces. The central government has always said, ever since COVID times, it has said that local governments should resolve their own problems, and there was basically no aid going to those local governments, so they had to turn to other means to basically get money, and one of the main means were and still are these so-called local government financing vehicles, which are basically companies that borrow on behalf of these provinces. But these local government funding vehicles, well, they used to work. They used to function quite well, and they played a big role helping these local governments finance most of their infrastructure projects. But these local government funding vehicles, they mostly boosted their earnings through land sales or leases. And when the real estate market began to experience problems, local government funding vehicles started to default. So they couldn't help local governments anymore. That's the main reason for the serious problems these local governments are facing. It's actually almost all of China's local governments, but the ones you mentioned, the ones in the central region and also deep in the north, those are the ones that have the worst problems.
Heretofore, I've been concentrating on the manufacturing and to a certain extent real estate, but manufacturing, because that is the way China built its treasure over the last decades. And manufacturing is what Xi Jinping has been emphasizing, regaining China's momentum. His recent trip to Europe was about seeking foreign investment and partnership with European countries for manufacturing goods to export to the world. What you're identifying, however, is that China's in trouble much more than manufacturing, which is located along the coastline. These provinces were run by men who were completely out of control and believed that the sky will, the sky is higher and higher above us, so keep borrowing. And now they've been told to stop borrowing. I think that's true. And they can't pay their debts. They have no income. I've been told anecdotes that they've cut the salaries of workers such as teachers and firemen, and people are not getting bonuses. And you're saying also that the central government says you're on your own. Don't look to us for solutions. All right, fine. That's a growing up moment. They've got to find their way out of getting so much in debt. One way, of course, would be bankruptcy. Another way would be recession. I understand that's forbidden for now. So let us go to the big meeting in July, which is a big, which is a feature. I concentrated on the smallest of them among them because I wanted to know how the Chinese slowdown was affecting the poorest provinces. Let's go to the rich ones who are represented, fully represented in the central government that's going to be meeting in July to talk about solutions. What solutions? How do they get out of this? And what are they proposing? Is it anything new?
Yes, so the circumstances of this big meeting coming up are already interesting. So it was supposed to be held last year, around October, November. So it's it used to be held around that time, and the Chinese leadership rarely strays from such traditions. So that was already interesting, and so it was basically canceled in October, or just not held, and there was no information given for quite a long time about when it was going to be held. So now we have a month. It's going to take place in July. And yeah, there is a lot of talk about this meeting. So this meeting, it's the third plenum. It's called that. And it's basically about the economic direction of the country for the coming years. So any major policy changes are always announced in that meeting. And also personal changes, like, for example, new ministers appointed or reasons given for the disappearance of important officials. So yeah, those are some of the issues that are discussed at that meeting usually. So at this third plenum, there is a lot of talk about it. Officials, even Xi himself, has mentioned this meeting as something that is going to give China basically a new direction. It's interesting that Xi's rhetoric has somewhat changed, and not just his, but other members of the Politburo have been talking about China's problems in a different way. So officials and advisors to government officials have started admitting to China's problems. So in the past, the usual thing was to talk about positive things like figures that show growth, improvement, development, and officials liked to ignore any problems the country had. And now these problems are being admitted too. So that's one interesting thing. And it seems like now that we have a time for this third plenum, it seems like the central leadership has finally decided on some of these policy changes that need to be implemented. So what we can expect is that some of these policies announced there will target local governments. Domestic demand needs to be boosted. So that's one thing China sorely needs. And yeah, foreign investment, as you mentioned, that's another thing that China has to get. And in order to woo foreign investment, mainly from the US and other Western countries, China has to ease some of its very strict trading practices that that basically scare away many companies that are considering investing in China. So the policies that are likely going to be announced at that conference are going to be targeted at those sectors. But local governments, they need to be saved in a way. So far, China has not announced anything major, like new real big change, only like trial periods of providing aid to some of the local governments. Something larger scale and all round will need to be announced. It's another thing if China can afford providing sufficient aid to the local governments. Maybe it needs to take funds away from other projects, but that's a priority right now.
Victoria Herxhead for Geopolitical Futures, pointing to July for the answers to this poverty that's sweeping the outlier provinces of China. They stopped working. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.